Heavenly Father, bless us as we reflect together as your church on your powerful word. And I pray that it will have a big impact in our lives and draw us closer to you. And so we draw near to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Happy Father's Day again, dads in the room. I've got a little word for the dads, which comes from 1 James today, and others can borrow this encouragement, but it's really for the dads. I want to say to fathers, and I think you know this, the one characteristic that makes a man a great dad is humility. Humility. And let me try and prove it. Basically, I think the best dads are the ones that kick a lot of goals and don't worry about recognition. And it's kind of ironic because Father's Day, it's kind of like recognition day. But the best dads are the ones that aren't trying to be recognized. The best dads are the ones that serve, protect, you know, provide, fix, help, care, and don't worry about how they get treated. And some, pretty much in ordinary time, there's a fair bit of like, mocking of dads in sitcoms, and that flows into normal life. Dads are often disrespected. Dads are often not given the credit for the stuff they're doing. Sometimes even, you know, the whole family can just sit there and mock the dad. And he just sits there and he knows. And God knows that how you humbly serve and provide, and you don't have to clamor for the recognition. You're humble, and that's beautiful. That's Christ-like. Real humility is invisible. It goes unnoticed. You don't say, oh, they're so humble. You just don't notice the person. But there they are, caring, loving, being a great dad. Today in James chapter 4, it's quite a big chunk. I'm kind of not sure why. I broke these passages up for this series. Last week was a short bit. This is a really long bit. But there is the theme that holds it together is humility. And that's unusual because normally James jumps around ideas, and there's a bit of jumping around, but they're all threaded together by this concept of humility. Chapter 4 is, it's like five paragraphs, and each paragraph is like an episode of a TV show. And so what I think we should do is watch each episode in a Netflix style and just binge watch it really quickly. You know what I mean? Not going to do one a week. We're going to binge watch all five paragraphs really quickly now. And what I want you to see in these five episodes are five different problems of life, all solved with godly humility. Godly humility is the resolution of every episode. So it wouldn't be a very good TV show, actually. It'd be very predictable by the end. Humility is just a forgotten virtue today. And really the world in its pride doesn't honor humility, but of course we love humility because our God is the God who left heaven and humbled himself all the way to the cross. So to us, humility is glorious because of the gospel. And so, yeah, dads, especially today, I want you to think of humility is your secret weapon. Humility is your secret weapon. You can achieve your mission without recognition, without praise, even in the midst of disrespect. Humility liberates you. It frees you just to get on with the godly job of providing and protecting others. It's a beautiful thing. It frees you. And I think of when have I been at my worst as a dad, or when I see dads at their worst, it's when they're proud. It's when they're like clamoring for honor, when they're clamoring for praise. You didn't respect me enough. That's when dads become kind of churlish and they lose their cool and their temper. You know, that's not good. That's not Christ-like. So let's do our Netflix binge watch of chapter 4, and I'll take you through these five episodes pretty quickly, so hold on to your hats. Episode 1 of chapter 4 is this. The situation is there are quarrels in James's church that he writes to. Everyone is fighting. You've got something I want that. And they're basically like a bunch of, instead of being a Christian church, they're like little toddlers in fighting in kindergarten over the toys. And James seems to diagnose or prescribe the remedy to all this church fighting is humble prayer, a humility to pray. Just have a listen to how he gets there. What causes fights and quarrels among you? See, and often, friends, if you ask people in a church fight, and I don't think really back is really deeply in this place, but I've seen churches are in this place. If you ask a church, you know, why are you fighting? Each party blames the other party. It's they did something wrong to me. But James says, no. Don't they come, the quarrels, from you, from the desires that battle in you? They come from your sinful nature trying to fight your godly nature, your born-again nature. And he focuses on that. You want something, but don't get it. You kill and covet. Maybe you kill someone's reputation as you slander them. But you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. And then finally, you do not have because you do not ask God. And so if you were humble and praying for God to provide all your needs, it would diffuse the sense of anger at your brother or the sense that they've ripped you off or taken something that is yours. According to James, people who don't pray will fight. And so instead you should invest deeply in humble prayer and trusting God with whatever he gives you and being content. And so in this episode, episode one, prayer is the great manifestation of humility. You know, just ask God for what you need rather than fighting for it. People who pray are content to rest in God. And there's a little warning though, a little bad way to pray in verse chapter 4, verse 3. Some of you, when you do ask, when you do get around to praying, maybe this is why you tried and don't try again, you do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. And I think he's imagining there, have you ever treated God like a butler or a kind of vending machine? Ever treated God like you're just putting in your shopping order for your online shopping or your eBay? You know, you're treating God like eBay and you're just using him to get what you want. That's not humility. That's not humility before God. And so, you know, do the right kind of prayer. Get on your knees. Pray for contentment. Be humble before God. Let's go to episode two. Episode two is about the choice between God and the world. And this, we had a bit of this last week with the worldly wisdom and the wisdom from above. But basically, James believes rightly that every one of you are torn between two great forces, between knowing God better and between worldliness, the way of the world. And the humble Christian is content to be exclusively belonging to God. In fact, James says to try and have both is like a married man trying to have another woman. It's sort of spiritual adultery. So he says, you know, you adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred toward God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Do you see how it's just simply mutually exclusive? You have to be, as my kids say, like, you know how people say, who's your BFF? You have to be BFF with God, not BFF with the world. Best friend forever. Have you heard that? That's what teenage girls say. I've got three of them. So James says, you've got to choose. And then he talks about this amazing sense of how we all have this yearning. And this actually relates to Father's Day, this kind of father hunger in chapter 4, verse 5. It's a strange line. Do you think the scripture says without reason that the spirit he caused to live in us envies intensely or yearns intensely? He's speaking about the fact that we have this God hunger, this divine heavenly father hunger. And that's why we go to the world and it's sort of pleasures and addictions. We're trying to feed a hunger, but only God can meet that yearning, and only heaven will finally complete that yearning. So even Christians, we meet it in God, but it's still kind of a struggle. And so we've got to think hard about humbling ourselves before God. And so this is where James goes. He says, we've got this yearning, but God gives us more grace. God will feed us enough to overcome the love of the world. That is why the scripture says God opposes the proud but gives grace to the, guess what? Humble. God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. And so here James is actually quoting Proverbs chapter 3, and it's also quoted by the apostle Peter in 1 Peter 5. So it must be a pretty important promise. God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. And so don't be BFF with the world. You'll never meet the yearning. But choose God exclusively. Don't be spiritually adulterous. And he gives grace. He'll help you through. He opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. So humility to let go of the world. Episode 3. This is about deliverance. It's a big topic, deliverance. How does someone escape their own sinful attractions or temptations? How does someone escape or be delivered from the devil's temptations? Well, the answer, I think, is humility before God. The verb in verse 7, he says, submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. To submit is an act of humility, to, you know, put God's will above your own, to obey him, even when you're not sure why, but he's the authority. And then pretty easy, devil's pretty easy, resist him, he'll flee from you. And then conversely, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. That's a beautiful, sweet promise. You know, humble yourself before God, relationally before God, and he won't let you down. He won't let you down. Take the outlook, James says, the humble outlook, what we could call contrition. Is that a helpful word? The outlook where you're always open before God to confess your faults and seek his mercy. Here's how he describes his sort of ongoing godly gospel contrition. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. So all that is, I think, is simply saying, have a healthy grief over your sin daily. You know, it's not saying kind of have a kind of an Eeyore mopiness. It's just saying own your sins and in a healthy way and grieve them and bring them to the cross. Bring them to God. And then the best line of the chapter comes. If you have this outlook, finally, verse 10, humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up. So James says, think about Jesus. When James says the Lord, he means the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it's very Jesus-centered advice. You know, in contrition of sin, in resisting the devil, humble yourselves before Jesus and he will lift you up. This is a very motivating reason to be humble, because Jesus is a good lifter-upper. Like, he was lifted up from the dead. So he's lifted things. He sits at the right hand of the Father. He rules the universe and he gives grace from his throne. He gives help. He carries us. And so let Jesus lift you up. Will you humble yourself before him? And a really easy way to do it is, it's become so valuable to me in my own prayer life, my own sort of private prayer life, to confess my sin to God and to ask his mercy every time I pray. Like, it's such a good habit. It's such a healthy habit. You know, I realize the psychologists are warning us that we shouldn't be too kind of gloomy or negative or kind of too victimizing ourselves. But James is not talking about that. James is talking about a healthy grief about our brokenness and our wickedness, that we can give it to God. We humble ourselves before Jesus and he lifts us up. That is deliverance. That's episode 3, and 4 and 5 are pretty quick. Episode 4 is simply about judgmentalism. And it's quite hard, but he seems to be saying something like, if you despise another Christian, you kind of end up judging the Bible itself, or, you know, you make yourself the judge of other Christians and you look down at other Christians. You're actually putting yourself above the Bible in a way that's idolatrous. Let's tease it out with James. He says, don't slander one another in the church. Anyone who speaks against his brother or judges him speaks against the law, God's law, and judges God's law. And when you judge the law, you're not keeping it. You're sitting in judgment on it. And so, again, all these episodes, by the way, always come back to God. It's fascinating. There's only one lawgiver with a capital L. There's only one judge with a capital J, the one who is able to save and destroy. But you, who are you to judge your neighbor? I mean, we can destroy our neighbor, but we can't save our neighbor. And in any case, there's one judge and one lawgiver. And so James says, don't put yourself above God by condemning another believer. And I think you'll see this. I don't think it's us. I hope it's not us. You tell me. But there are some churches, friends, that just the vibe is very uptight of the church, and they're more critical than the Bible. They're more judgmental than the Bible. And how can that be? And they do it in the name of the Bible, but actually they put their own kind of culture above the Bible, maybe. And so we want to have a humble spirit, you know, confessing our own sin, and we don't want to have a judgmental spirit at Berwick Anglican. And so I pray that your humility before God protects you from despising a brother or sister. And season finale, the last episode, number 5, relates humility to planning. This is really interesting. Do you like planning? Do you like planning the next holiday? I watch a lot of YouTube travel channels. I'm always sort of in my head in some other country of the world. I'd love to go there. And so James addresses the people who plan in a kind of boasting way. People who say today or tomorrow we'll go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. And James says, yeah, he's not sure about that. It sounds, it's more a bit of an ego kind of planning rather than a humble planning. And so he kind of says, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow, really. You don't even know. None of us really know what's going to happen on Monday, 2nd of September, whether we'll even be here, you know. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while, then vanishes. You know, in some of the housing estates, if you got in early enough, you'll know that in many of the housing estates around here, you know, there's often a real fog over them in the morning. I drive through this, and then by about 8:30, it's gone. It was the thickest fog and mist, but it's gone. And James says, that's your life. Your life is fragile. Your life is vapor. So just be careful with your kind of self-centered and planning. It's iffy. I do realize that I don't want to create a scripture contradiction, because I actually think in the rest of the Bible, even in Proverbs, that James seems to like Proverbs, often planning is commended as godly. So I think what James is condemning is a kind of godless bravado, a kind of one day I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. Maybe even, you know, sometimes you do this and you put a little godly spin on it. One day I'm going to go on a mission trip. One day I'm going to read the Bible in a year, or, you know, one day I'm going to start praying with my wife, or I'm going to give a lot of money to the church or something like that. You know, James says, be humble. You're mist. You are vapor. Here today, gone tomorrow. You know, at least in your planning, say, if it's the Lord's will, we will live and do this and that. And then it comes out, you know, as it is, you boast and brag. All such boasting is evil. I think James is really hinting that if you're boasting about something good you haven't done yet, just do it. Just do it today. You know, don't talk it up. Don't say, I'm gonna one day do some great thing, either shut up or just do it today. That's why he says, the final verse, 17, anyone who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it sins. If you have something in your power that's good to do, then just do it. But don't brag about doing it before you've even done it. You know, be humble, be humble. So let's, you know, time to like go to bed or turn off the Netflix binge. There's five episodes, five paragraphs, five life situations that are all fixed, all resolved, all blessed with humility. I don't know whether, are you living in any of these episodes right now? In a conflict with another believer? Then be humble enough to pray. Are you tempted by the world? Then be humble enough to belong to God exclusively. You know, are you proud? You know, are you humble enough to confess your sins to God and, you know, let him lift you up? Are you judging another believer? Are you making boasts about things you haven't even done? Be humble, friends, be humble. And if I can just put a little spin on the humility, this is a sting in the tail, or I don't know. I want to be clear with you that this sermon is not about pursuing a virtue. It sounded like, I know, I've been saying, pursue the virtue of humility. But if you look at James carefully, in every episode, he brings it back to our relationship with God. And so the way I'd rather you go home thinking is, James wants you to pursue a relationship with the Lord Jesus, and in that, be humble. That's a lot different, I think, because the Bible is not actually a book for moralists. It's not a book of abstract moral values that you can just sort of work on in the abstract. And humility is the worst one because it doesn't actually work on its own. It's only as you come before your God and Maker, you humble yourself before the Lord Jesus, and he lifts you up. It's only something that actually works if you are in a deep relationship with God. So friends, I challenge you today to pursue your relationship with God, and in that, be humble. Let him humble you. The kind of one of the technical theological terms of this, you could say, is it's humility coram Deo. That's Latin for humility in the presence of God. So we're not just pursuing a virtue, we're pursuing humility in the presence of God. Humble yourself before the Lord and he will lift you up. God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. It's all in relationship with God. It's all in the presence of God, or you might even say it's before the face of God. Friends, this week, this day, walk with Jesus in a humble way. And as a church, friends, let us walk with Jesus in humility, not tearing each other down, but prayerfully, humbly serving each other, just as Christ served us and died for us. Let's pray for this. Lord Jesus, we humble ourselves before you. We repent of our pride and we reject our self-righteousness and our condemning of others. Lord Jesus, have mercy on us, forgive us, and help us to keep walking with you. And I pray that you will keep giving us grace, and especially to the dads here, give them this day special sustaining mercy and power and grace. In Jesus' name, amen.